I was in fifth grade when I first was diagnosed as needing glasses, as being nearsighted. It began with difficulty reading the chalkboard in class. Mrs. Collier noticed that I was having trouble seeing the board, that I was squinting a lot, and then afterwards I would get up and come to the front to look more closely at what was written on that chalkboard. So she moved me to the front row and then talked to my parents, saying that she thought that I probably needed glasses. So they took me, they tested me, yes, indeed, Greg is very nearsighted. We definitely need to get him glasses. And they took me to the Pearle Vision Center at Richardson Square Mall and got me fitted. And I remember walking out of there and being amazed at how crystal clear everything was. All the edges were really defined and sharp, and the trees were no longer just big green blobs, and I could see people's faces, I could see their expressions, I could see and know that what I was, I could read at a distance, where before I couldn't. It was an incredible experience to get my first pair of glasses and suddenly be able to see again. I remember sitting on the floor in the living room when I was a kid and watching Star Trek and other shows, especially Saturday morning cartoons, Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny, and sitting there and having to squint at the TV, though I was so close to be able to see it. Not anymore. I had glasses. I had glasses and I could see. These are new glasses. I got them about a month ago, and I remember when I went to the doctor. You know, I hate going to the eye doctor. They squirt that horrible air in your eye, and they do other things to your eye, and it just makes me squeam. Ew, I just don't like it, but it's important, and it's necessary, and really good report. My distance vision, actually, is a little bit better, but my reading is worse. About age 47, I had to upgrade to bifocals. I had to make that stronger in my prescription today, but with glasses, things are no longer a blurry mess. I can now see. Not being able to see, not being able to depend upon our eyes is scary. One time I remember breaking my glasses. I was younger, a lot younger. My glasses got broken. Not just the frames, the lenses were severely damaged, and I had to drive, squinting the whole way, trying to see my way home. I was terrified because I couldn't see. Hearing can also be a challenge. Several years ago, I began to notice that a high-pitched ringing or whining sound that had always occurred periodically through my life when I was younger now was with me all the time. When I'm listening to something like music, my brain tunes it out. I don't hear it anymore. But if it's quiet, I hear it. I hear it loudly. In both ears, but it's even worse in the left than the right. The doctor tells me it's tinnitus, and that there's not a whole lot they can do for it these days. It's annoying, it's distracting. At times it's upsetting. I can't sit in silence anymore and pray. Not in silence, because there is no silence. There's that whine constant in my ears. The silence is fleeting now. Just as my vision can be blurry without my glasses, my hearing is getting worse. I'm aware of my deficits. Not being able to see, not being able to hear, not being able to do either very well is a challenge. I once knew a fellow named Lloyd. I was pastor at Segoville, and this was 20 years ago, and Lloyd was incredible. Before I had met him, he had had severe high diabetes, and he had gone from having poor vision. In just 24 hours, he went from very poor vision to no vision at all. He was gone. He was totally and completely blind. Could no longer see anything. Just black, complete darkness. And yet he never let it get him down. He never let it slow him down. He was constantly on the go, constantly on the do. He had to depend on people to drive, depend on people to get around, but he wasn't going to quit. He learned how to read Braille. And he loved audiobooks. I shared with him all of my audiobooks that I had at that time. And he loved those too. He never slowed down. He never quit. He and I were part of the Emmaus community in Dallas. And so we would often go to candlelight services. And we would be there early to set things up. And Lloyd's job to help set things up, you wouldn't think he could do anything. Lloyd's job to help set things up was to check to see if the battery-powered candles were working. Yeah, the blind guy was checking to see if the candles would work. How did he do that? I mean, I was shocked when I saw it, but he works. He would sit there with a box of candles. And he would take one out of the box. He'd twist the base, turn it on. He'd hold it up in the air. And anybody in the room who happened to see it would shout out, "Works," or "doesn't work," or "it's lit," or "it's not lit," or something like that. And then he would sort them. The ones that worked, he turned off, he put in the box that works. The ones that didn't work, he'd put in the box of don't work. And then after he was finished sorting, works, doesn't work, he would then change the batteries in the ones that didn't work to make them work again by touch. It took a group to help him do it, but it's no big deal. We were setting up chairs and doing other things, and he's just sitting there holding up a candle. Works, doesn't work, and so on. It's hilarious. He didn't let it slow him down. He didn't let it stop him from serving and giving of himself, of participating in the life of the community of faith, of being useful to others and useful to God. He didn't let it stop him. His blindness was an irritation. I never heard him complain about it once. It was a challenge, but he never, ever quit. He was one of my heroes at that church. He's one of those people that was always an inspiration to me, an excitement to me. I look at him, and when I would feel bad or feel like I couldn't get something done or felt like I was inadequate to the task, I just look at Lloyd, the blind man who would check the candlelights to make sure they were working. He was an inspiration to me. He was a man a whole lot like Bartimaeus in our story. A man a whole lot like Bartimaeus, who's waiting on the roadside for Jesus to come by. He'd heard that Jesus was going to be in Jericho. He knew about Jesus. He'd probably even heard what Jesus had said. And so he was waiting for Jesus to come by, knowing that if only he could get Jesus' attention, he could be healed. And so Jesus comes by, and the scripture says that Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The people around him tried to hush him. "Shh, be quiet." They tried to push him down, they shut him down, quiet him. Shut him up. It's like the jerks didn't want him to get in their way, possibly, of catching Jesus' attention. But he wasn't quiet. He refused to be quiet. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cried even louder, persistently. The passage is clear. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here. Call him here." I find it interesting that he was physically blind. In many ways, he could see, however, far better than those around him. He was physically blind. He knew he was blind. He knew he had need. He knew he was in need of the rabbi from Nazareth. He could see spiritually better than any of those people who were around him and trying to shut him up. That's a theme in the Gospels, by the way. We learn repeatedly that religious leaders of Jesus' day and the good common folk of Jesus' day were often spiritually blind. Those who were in need, the poor in spirit, the blind, those who were ill, women, they were the ones who were often, while considered to be blind or deaf or infirm by the society, they were the ones who had spiritual sight, who had spiritual vision, who could see better than the religious leaders, who could look at Jesus and see, discern that here is the Son of David, here is the Son of God, here is the Messiah, the Anointed One. They could see better that this Jesus, this rabbi from Nazareth, is walking with the footsteps of God through a dusty, cold, broken, and hurting world. Bartimaeus could see better than those around him, better than those who could see. He could see spiritually. He could see and know that in Jesus of Nazareth, whose face he had never seen, yet he knew and could see that this Jesus could heal him, could change him, could transform him, could make him whole. This theme from the Gospels, and it's in all the Gospels, this theme of the religious leaders and the good common religious folk of the day being spiritually blind, but those who are in need and the poor in spirit, and those who are ill, those who were oppressed in the society, they had vision. They could see spiritually far better than the rest. You would think that someone who was a rabbi and someone who was a member of the Sanhedrin would be able to see easily. And it was unusual, though, that someone like Nicodemus was going to be able to see and discern Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, you would think, being part of the council, all the other rabbis and all the other leaders and religious leaders of the day, they'd be able to see too. But no, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, a handful of those who were supposed to have sight, just a tiny handful, actually did. They were the exceptions, the Nicodemuses and the Joseph of Arimathea. They were the exceptions to the rule. The religious leaders, they're blind. The people, they had spiritual sight. Even the blind ones like Bartimaeus had spiritual sight. Those religious leaders were like the blind leading the blind. That's actually said in Matthew's gospel. Spiritually blind leading the blind. Now sometimes we get hung up on Jesus' miracles. Lots of people want to dwell on them way too long. Jesus himself didn't dwell on them. He performed miracles everywhere he went. He healed people. He fed people. He transformed their broken lives, their broken bodies, their broken spirits. It's what he did. But he didn't make a big deal out of it. In fact, he told people to be quiet about it. You came seeking the wonders, but I have something more important to tell you, he would sometimes say. People get hung up on those miracles and thinking that's all it's about. Or they say, oh, that's just magic and myth and we don't need to pay attention to any of that. And if we do that, we take the other extreme and we're wrong too. Because in each of these miracles that Jesus works throughout his ministry, we can learn a great deal about Jesus, about ourselves, and about our need for God's transforming grace. If you read the Gospels, if you read the miracle stories, you discover that each one highlights a human need. In this one, we have the need for being given sight, being healed and being given sight. And what we notice is that the one who is blind, who needs the healing, has better sight than those around him. It takes Jesus recognizing Bartimaeus' cry. Send him to me, he says. And then The people said, hey, get up, come on, he's taking notice of you. Finally, they get it. Aha, Bartimaeus is being called by the master. And he comes forward and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus' answer is simple, I want to see again. My teacher, let me see again. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Wow. No magic words and phrases, no abracadabra and alakazam. Doesn't even say he touched Bartimaeus. He simply says, in response to his plea, teacher, I want to see you again. He simply says, your faith has made you well. Believing that I can do it. Believing that if you come to me, you will see again. Believing that and acting upon it, crying out to me, getting up and coming to me, has made you well. And notice what he then does. It says immediately he was healed. He could see again. And he follows Jesus on the way. He follows Jesus. He goes from being physically blind to physically sighted. He goes from being spiritually sighted to following on the way. Following in the way. Following Christ on the way. We often struggle with spiritual blindness. We may think we can see spiritually. We may have spiritual glasses to help us to see. But in truth, we struggle with spiritual blindness. We see around us perfectly fine, even if we need glasses. We see around us perfectly fine, but we are spiritually blind. Blessed are those who know that they're blind and in need of a healer. Blessed are those who know that they need spiritual enlightenment in order to see God clearly. Again, Lloyd could see. Lloyd could see better than me. Physically, he couldn't see a thing. I'll never forget the first time he said he wanted to see what I looked like. And one of the other members of the church was trying to describe me to him. And Lloyd said, oh, I can see better than that. And he reached out his hand and he touched my face. He says, oh, you need glasses. I said, yeah, I have glasses. And he felt my forehead and my ears and my chin. Oh, you've got a beard. I didn't know you had a beard. I didn't hear a beard. And he touched my face and then he reached down and he touched my stomach. He said, oh, my goodness, you're fat too. I said, yes, I am. Did you hear that? He says, no, I didn't hear that. And then he said something that blew me away. He said, you know, now that I know what you look like, I got to say, I already knew who you were because I had heard you. That was humbling to me. Just before he died, he asked me to, when I did his funeral, to tell the story of how he used to check the candles for candlelight. And he said, remind people that it's not what you see with your eyes. It's what you see with your heart and your spirit that matters. And he was right. Like Bartimaeus, he was right. Like Bartimaeus, he could see Jesus more clearly than those who were around him. Lloyd could see Jesus more clearly than us who could see physically. He wasn't distracted by the stuff of this world. He could see spiritually. I knew when I was in Lloyd's presence, I was spiritually myopic. needing glasses. My spiritual myopathy falls when I pray and when I serve and when I give. But when I fall out of serving, when I stop giving, when I stop acting in faith, I find my vision is getting blurry again. Those of us who struggle with blurry spiritual vision, the answer is clear: the means of grace, especially prayer. So I want you to pray with me now. Holy God, we, many of us, may have a degree of spiritual blindness. Things may be fuzzy around us spiritually. We may be wondering what we're seeing. We may be questioning what we're seeing. Like Bartimaeus, we know we need the presence of Jesus. Open our spiritual eyes. Help us to see the needs of those around us and reach out with love towards all. Help us to be a people who can see clearly those needs and the grace of Christ and to reach out with love to all. We may be able to see physically, God, and we thank you for that. But we know that we are spiritually struggling with your sight. Give us your vision. Clear our spiritual sight and make us whole with you again. In the name of the Father and of the Son. Let me dwell.